Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with your over with their over-under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Welcome in, everyone, to the MLB Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Thursday, May 26th, currently 4:15 on the East Coast, here to break down the Friday schedule in Major League Baseball. I am back from Vegas. It was a great time out there with the NBA Gambling Podcast crew, but now it is time to get back on the saddle, time to start grinding out the MLB. And joining me to break down the Friday schedule, the man that's been holding it down, trying to contain Malcolm and his shenanigans, it's my main man, Dylan Rockford. Dylan, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Munaf? I'm doing well. How was Vegas? I saw you guys hit on, or Scott hit on, a nice parlay. The studio looks beautiful in the Blue Wire, and you met up with the Consig.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun out there. We got the NBA Gambling Podcast crew out there. I know we're going to try to get a lot of the other shows out there as well to use the Blue Wire studio facilities. It's absolutely gorgeous. I don't know. I don't have words to describe it because it was actually like the first time I had actually been in there. I know Sean and Ryan have been there plenty of times, but it's a great experience. It's a lot of fun. They've done a great job of making the facility, the technology and the equipment is all top notch. The green room area, it's absolutely fantastic. It's a sight to see. So hopefully, sooner rather than later, we'll all be able to get out there and check out the Blue Wire Studios. Yeah, Consig stopped by as well. I texted him that I was going to be in town, and he said, yeah, he told me that he was going to message me, and he did. I believe it was on Tuesday, and he came by to the Blue Wire Studios, kicked it with us for a little bit, got him on the pod, talked some NBA as well. And yeah, we did hit some big parlays. Scott had two that were like 17-1 and 13-1. And then I had one.
Oh, wow.
It was three MLB plays and then one basketball play. I was around 11-1. So, we had a pretty good trip. It was a lot of fun seeing everybody.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. Next, we got to get this MLB pod out there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Sooner, like I said, hopefully sooner rather than later, we can get everybody out there. I was talking to Malcolm earlier today, and he's like, he wants to get out to Vegas. He was actually looking at flight prices to get over there. I was like, how long is a flight? He's like, it's 16 hours. And then I told him, jeez. Oh my God, it's going to take you like 2 days to recover. And he goes, no, I'll be running on adrenaline and I can sleep anywhere. So I think
he's an animal.
Yeah, he's an animal. I think he's really ready to get out there and meet the crew and just get out to Vegas. It's always a great time. But what's been going on in MLB? I know I've been keeping up with it, but how's your betting going this week?
It's been good. After a good, nice 4-day win streak, I had 2 losing days. I got to stick with my gut. I'm trying to get too cute. And like, for example, this first game today, the Cubs and the Reds, I had the over 8.5, went away from it, didn't play, and decided to play the Cubs. Then Justin Steele got whacked for like 6-7, and then we had a rain delay. So now they're down 13-5. So just got to go with my gut a little more. I try to get too cute sometimes with my numbers, and it backfires.
Yeah, I took the first 5 over in this game. As soon as I see that, saw the Cubs put up 2, I was like, sooner rather than later, the Reds were going to come back, and they did. Like you mentioned, Steele gave up those runs. So that's a good early cash for me to start Thursday here. But here to talk about the Friday games. Dylan, let's just dive right into it, my man. First game on the board on Friday is going to be a 6:40 Eastern start between the San Francisco Giants in Cincinnati. Currently, no line is up for this game, and I am currently seeing probable pitchers of Carlos Rodon for the San Francisco Giants, and I'm seeing Graham Ashcraft as the
starting pitcher. Yeah, that's who I have.
Okay. And I'll go through the numbers since we don't have a line here for this game. So Carlos Rodon, he's 4-3 on the season so far, 3.43 ERA, a whip of 1.16. His only rough outing really was his the third start in May in St. Louis, where he got whacked for 8 earned runs at only 3 2/3 inning. But other than that, he's been really, really good for the San Francisco Giants. And I was looking at the splits for teams batting averages against left-handed pitching. And I believe the Reds were one of the worst teams against left-handed pitching. Let me double check that here real quick. As far as team batting average. Yeah. Cincinnati second to last, at least in team batting average, they're right down there with the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are ranked number 32. Their OPS is currently dead last in the MLB against left-handed pitching. So automatic advantage right there, especially with a guy like Carlos Rodon on the mound here. And like I mentioned, Graham Ashford is on the mound for the Cincinnati Reds. He made a start out of the minor league system for the Cincinnati Reds on May 22nd in Toronto, where he went 4 1/3 inning, did allow 4 hits, 2 earned runs, did strike out 3, but also did walk 2 guys. So not much there for him. This is going to be his second start in the MLB for the Cincinnati Reds. I completely lean here with the Giants here. Dylan, on the run line, I like what Rodon has been able to do throughout the season. Like I mentioned, that ERA is a little inflated because he had that one bad start against the St. Louis Cardinals. But other than that, you know, this, like I mentioned, this Reds team that has been struggling offensively against left-handed pitching, again, that just gives the upper hand to Carlos Rodon. But did you have anything for this game that you did like?
Yeah, no, I would just imagine that the Giants are probably going to open up a big favorite. I would probably lean the over as well. I mean, both teams are, I think I saw, 25-17 towards the over. I mean, right now the Reds put up 14 at home. There are winds blowing out at 9 miles an hour tomorrow. So I would imagine, especially if I could get a nice -130 with the Giants run line, maybe that team total over 4.5. And I would lean over. I can't get involved with the Cubs right now, especially that they're about to win. So I like to fade them after they win.
We're leading Giants here tomorrow on the run line. And then Dylan also likes the over. And I still kind of do like the team total over then for the San Francisco Giants after what you just said about everything. You know, the second start here for Graham Ashford for the Cincinnati Reds. But like you mentioned, I mean, this Giants team has been hitting the ball well. I know they got in a slump a couple weeks back, but I think that they can find their form here against, especially the Cincinnati pitching, whose starting rotation hasn't been that good. And I think their bullpen has been even worse for them. So definitely keep that in mind when you're betting this game. All right, next game on the board, it's going to be a 7:05 Eastern start. It's going to be the second game of the series between the Colorado Rockies visiting the nation's capital to take on the Washington Nationals. Currently seeing a line of this game as an opener of -110 both ways on this game. Total is set at 9 with a little bit of juice on the under at -115. Run line right now, -1.5 for the Rockies. Sorry, at +150. And then for the Nationals, +1.5, -170. I'll leave this one off here also as well, Dylan. On the mound, it's going to be Austin Gomber for the Colorado Rockies. Left-handed pitcher, he's 2-4 so far on the season, a 4.11 ERA, a whip of 1.20. His last start, it was against the New York Mets, where he was pretty good in that game. He only gave up 2 earned runs in 7 innings pitched. Did allow 7 hits, but again, he looked really good against them. The one thing that really does stick out to me about Austin Gomber is that he's not very good on the road. And if we kind of go back to last season, he had a 6.22 ERA on the road with a 1.44 whip. He was 4-8 on the road. And then at home, he was lights out, 2.09 with a whip of below 1 with a 5-1 record. Fast forward to this season, it's pretty balanced for him as far as his ERA, 4.09 on the road. His whip is still below 1 on the road so far this season at 0.95, but his record is 1-2. And then, like I mentioned, for the Washington Nationals, going to be Aaron Sanchez. Oh, this guy is having a very, very rough go so far this season. I think his best start was the last game against the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee for Sanchez. He did go 5 innings, allowed 2 earned runs off of 7 hits. He's had 5 straight games where he's given up at least a home run to the opposition. Back on May 5th in Colorado against this Rockies team, he went 4 1/3 inning, gave up 6 hits, 6 earned runs in that game, 7 runs overall. So he hasn't been very good. He's hasn't made it to the 6th inning yet in this in any of his starts so far, Dylan. He's given up at least 3 earned runs in every single start except for his last one. So just not very good for Aaron Sanchez here. I'm leaning with I like the first 5 over in this game, Dylan. I also probably slightly lean towards the Rockies as well in this game. I just can't get behind Aaron Sanchez. But do you have a feel for this game?
Yeah, nothing official. This game was kind of just ugly, and I didn't really want to play it. But I have a small lean towards the under 9. I mean, Austin Gomber, I think he did have success against his national team last time he faced them. And I know Aaron Sanchez, he isn't the most trustworthy pitcher, to say the least. But he did, like you said, I think he had his best outing last time against the Brewers. So hopefully he could build on that. But both teams haven't been really scoring a bunch of runs. And with how pitcher-friendly the National Stadium is, I'll take a shot, but nothing concrete. I set my total at 8.8, so it's right at the number. Yeah,
it's right at that number. You're right. All right, let's get to the next game on the board. It's going to be the Baltimore Orioles headed to Fenway Park to take on the Red Sox. It's going to be a 7:10 Eastern start. Starting pitchers for this game is going to be Kyle Bradish for the Baltimore Orioles. And for the Boston Red Sox, it'll be Garrett Whitlock. Looking at the opening line for this game, I believe we do not have one yet. So, Dylan, I will kick it to you here, my man. What are you projecting for this game between the Orioles and the Red Sox?
Yeah, so as of right now, we have Kyle Bradish for the Orioles and Whitlock for the Red Sox. I made the Red Sox a -170 favorite. I made the Orioles +170. I made my total 8.3. So I'm expecting the Red Sox to open up a big favorite. I mean, the Orioles, they have played some competitive baseball as of late. They might not win all their games, but just like the Marlins, they play a lot of one-run games. So they might be able to keep this one close. But I do like the move the Red Sox made, transitioning Whitlock from the bullpen to a starting pitcher. But I'm going to ask you real quick, as a Red Sox fan, do you think it's hurt their bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, even at the beginning of the season, like the bullpen wasn't doing very good. I mean, we saw multiple times that they had a lead going into the 7th, 8th, even the 9th inning where they blew it and even, you know, lost it in that 9th inning. And a lot of games that they did have, that they had in the bag, ended up going to extra innings as well, where they also did lose those games. So, and I think you and I talked about this, you know, when we're talking about the Red Sox and, you know, possibly when the Mets needed to make a move for a pitcher, that that maybe somebody from the Red Sox would move over. I don't think so, because I think that, number one, their offense has kind of turned around. But I think, again, this team is going to go out and probably get another arm or two for that bullpen. Again, like we mentioned, like Chris Sale, isn't too far away from returning to the rotation here. So I think that's only obviously when you get your best pitcher back, that's going to help everything else, you know, whether it's in your starting rotation or if they want to move Whitlock back into the bullpen. I think that's only going to be a boost. But yeah, I mean, as of right now, I mean, I'm going to have the long answer here, but I think the Red Sox, yeah, that bullpen has not been very good to, you know, keep it simple. And to answer your question, yeah, it has hurt them.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the numbers right now, and just by pure standpoint, last year you guys were so much better ERA. Now you're bottom five in the AL. So, but your hitting has turned around, and I think with how good they're playing, especially their top three guys with Devers, Xander, and JD. Yeah. So without them, I think they'll get the win. I would need any sort of a plus price to be on the Red Sox run line, but with how good the Orioles are and they play a lot of one run games, I don't know. I need a nice plus price, and I set my total, like I said, at 8.3.
Yeah, the Orioles are at home have been pretty good. I mean, 12 of their 18 wins have come at home. They're 6-16. In road games so far this season are the Baltimore Orioles. So I'll have to dig into that a little more and I see how many of those losses on the road have come by two or more runs, because I know at least at home that they've been very competitive. Like you mentioned, that they've been covering that plus 1.5 on the season here so far. I would probably lean with the Red Sox here as well. I do trust Garrett Whitlock. Probably maybe look at a first five inning run line for the Red Sox. And again, it's good to see that this offense has really turned around for the Red Sox. We've really been on the back of Trevor Story, who's just been hitting the long bomb over the past 2 weeks. It's really been crazy to see that turnaround. So it's a bright spot right now for the Red Sox. Do you have anything else for this game, Dylan, before we get over to the next one?
No, that'd be it.
All right, let's get over to the next game of the night. It's going to be another 7:10 Eastern start between the Cleveland Guardians in Detroit to take on the Tigers. We see probable pitchers of Shane Bieber for the Cleveland Guardians and Alex Fado for the Detroit Tigers. Looking at the line for this game, I am currently seeing Shane Bieber is favored minus 165 here, plus 145 on the Tigers money line with the over under set at 7. A little bit juice to the over at minus 115. The run line for the Guardians, minus 1.5, plus 110, and plus 1.5, minus 130 for the Detroit Tigers. Bieber on the mound here, like I said, for the Guardians. Do you think he gets it done here, Dylan?
Yeah, I favored him to a minus 145, so it's a little past my point where I could back him, but I do like the under 7. I know it's low, but I think it's for good reason. Two good pitchers on the mound. Both teams, they haven't been playing a lot of unders of late, just scoring a bunch of runs. Both teams in their last 10 games, 7 have gone under the number. With Shane Bieber, he's actually much better on the road than at home, almost 3 points lower in ERA. Alex Fado, he's only making his 5th start of the year, but overall, a decent showing so far. He had a good game against the Guardians last time out, only 2 runs given up in 5 innings, and the score ended 4-2. So I think with how good both pitchers have been, I think we'll see a similar game to the last time, maybe 4-2, 3-1. So I'll dive under first 5, 3.5, and I'll also dive the full game under 7.
Yeah, that was going to be my play in this game as well. I like the under, especially how well that, like you mentioned, Alex Fado has been for the Detroit Tigers. And you know, Shane Bieber, he's been great as well. I know he only had that one bad start against the Toronto Blue Jays all the way back on May 7th. He did go, like you said, 7 innings last time against his Detroit Tigers team, where he did give up 2 earned runs in that span. But I think I also want to look at his strikeout number for this game as well. He did strike out 10 in his last start against the Tigers. Previous start, he did have 7 against the Minnesota Twins as well. So if that number comes out around, I don't know, around that 8.5, maybe if we get lucky to see an 8. I do like that strikeout prop for Shane Bieber in this game. But both Dylan and I do like the under in this game between both of these squads. Dylan, you have anything else for this game?
Nope, that'd be it.
All right, let's keep it moving here for the next game on the board. It's going to be the 7:10 Eastern start between the New York Yankees in Florida to take on the Tampa Bay Rays. I see Jameson Taillon is going to be the starter for the New York Yankees. On the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays, it's going to be Jeffrey Springs Currently looking at the opening line for this game, the Yankees are a slight favorite in this game, a number of minus 115 on the money line, minus 105 for the Tampa Bay Rays, over under set at 7.5 with a little bit of juice towards the under at minus 115, the run line minus 1.5 plus 145 for the Yankees, and plus 1.5 minus 165 for the Tampa Bay Rays. Dylan, I'll let you lead this one off also, man. What do you got for this Yankees and Rays game?
Yeah, I'm going the opposite way this time. I'm going to go over 7.5. I feel like this line is just a tad low. I set my total at 7.8. So I do like Jameson Taillon, but he tends to give up more hard contact and runs on the road. And with the Rays, they're going with the bullpen game with Spring starting for them. He'll go 1-2 innings and then, you know, turn it to the bullpen. But the Rays, they do have a top 8 bullpen in the league, but the Rays have been playing a lot of overs of late. 4 of the last 5 have gone over the number. I know the Yankees are dealing with a lot of injuries with Chapman on the IL, so it's taken a hit to their bullpen. But I think with their lineup, with how good Aaron Judge and Stan have been hitting, I think we see some runs. Both pitchers will give up some runs, and I think they tack on a few with the bullpen. So I'm going to go over 7.5 here.
Yeah, I think we see a maybe if you get lucky to see a 3.5 or even at 4 for the first 5 innings. I think I like that angle as well. Yankees, we know that a lot of times they put up runs early, whether it's in that first inning or that second inning, where they can, you know, put up a lot of times. We've seen it over the past 2 weeks where they've gotten up 2 or 3 runs. I know it's been against subpar competition, but I mean, with this offense, when you have guys like Judge in that lineup, I know Stan left the game, I think a couple days ago with a calf strain or something like that. I don't see him on the.
Yeah, he's day to day right now. Okay.
They didn't put him on the IL, right?
No.
Okay. But even without him, I mean, Aaron Judge is just having one of the best seasons for any hitters right now. I mean, I think he leads the league in home runs right now. So again, with these two offenses and the capabilities that do have, I do like the first 5 over in this game as well. It's kind of to back up what Dylan said. Not much of a lean on the side for me. There wasn't much where I could differentiate these two guys, but do you have anything else for this game, Dylan?
No, that's it. Maybe a team total for the Yankees as well. Yeah. If you want to look at it that way, maybe if you get 3.5, 4, I like the over there.
Yeah. Especially with a total of 7, you will probably find a 3.5, probably will be with some heavy juice on it. But I mean, that's this fine. Yankees offense has been great. Yeah. All right, let's move over to the next game of the night. It's going to be another 7:10 Eastern start between the Philadelphia Phillies visiting the New York Mets. I'm seeing Zach Eflin on the mound for the Philadelphia Phillies. And Carlos Carrasco is going to be on the mound for the New York Mets. Looking at these two pitchers, Zach Eflin on the mound, like I said, for the Phillies. He's 1-3 on the season so far. 3.65 ERA, a 1.14 whip. Last start against the Dodgers, he was really solid, did go 7 innings, gave up 2 earned runs. My concern with Eflin is that he's another pitcher that does not do very well on the road. Going all the way back to the 2020 season, his ERA 5.91, a 1.59 whip. Last season in 2021, 5.12 ERA, a 1.29 whip. 2-5 on the road last year. Fast forward to this season, absolutely lights out at home so far. As far as, you know, his numbers with a 1.57 ERA, a WHIP of below 1, but on the road, Dylan, so far, Zach Eflin 7.07 ERA, a WHIP of 1.71. So now you're going up against this offense like the New York Mets, and these two teams did square off earlier this month. On May 1st, where Zach Eflin faced this Mets team in New York, where he only went 4 1/3, gave up 8 hits, allowed 5 earned runs, 6 runs overall, had 3 strikeouts in that game to 1 walk, but it wasn't a very pretty outing for him in that game. And then on the mound for the Mets, like I mentioned, Carlos Carrasco, he's 4-1 so far this season with a 3.50 ERA, a WHIP of 1.14. I think the only trouble that he's had so far was all the way back on April 27th in St. Louis, where he did allow 8 earned runs. His start against Seattle back on May 15th was also a little shaky, but other than that, he's been pretty good so far for the New York Mets. I will lean with the team total for this Mets team to go over. I also do like the first 5 innings run line for the New York Mets. And if you kind of look at the splits for Carlos Carrasco, 2.16 ERA at home with a 1.04 ERA whip. He's perfect 2-0, at least decision-wise, at Citi Field, and hasn't been that great on the road. Dylan, am I right or wrong about Carlos Carrasco? I know this is your team, the Mets.
Oh, yeah, I like Cookie here. I agree with the team total, especially if you're able to get like a 4, 4.5. I like the over there. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to take the Mets on the money line. I like them first 5 -0.5 a run to reduce the juice a little bit. But the Mets, they need to turn things around. I think the injuries to our pitchers are starting to affect us a little. But we're back home trying to get back in the win column. It was an ugly series against the Giants. But I think you hit it nail on the head. You just can't back Eflin here on the road. Talk about last year. This year, 7.07 ERA. Last time he faced the Mets, like you said, he got rocked. Only last 4 innings, 5 runs on 8 hits. I think we're getting a discounted price on a much better team, in my opinion. Forget the pitcher. I just think the team overall, the Phillies are very inconsistent. One day they'll break out for 9-10 runs, and then they'll put a 0 the next day. It's hard to get a real gauge on this Phillies team. The Phillies are good on the road, aren't really good on the road, and the Mets, they're 24-13 as the favorite. So I just trust Cookie Carrasco. I trust the Mets way more at home. So -120, I'm taking the Mets on the money line.
Yeah, I didn't read the lines for this game. Like Dylan just mentioned, the Mets are favored in this game. -120, even money on the Phillies. Money line, over-under set at 8. -120 towards the under, and -1.5, +165 on the run line, +1.5, -195 on the run line for the Phillies. That run line there, Dylan, on the Mets looks really, really juicy to me at +165. I don't know. I might have to make that a dog of the day, but once we get to that point, I'll have to look at it. But you know, the splits are, it's way too significant, I guess, to ignore for both of these pitchers. So we'll definitely keep that in mind. Before we get to the next game, let me tell you guys about our presenting sponsor, WynnBET. Make sure to get down on WynnBET's $50 to win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WynnBET Casino is offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. All users can receive a free $20 bet when they win, lose, or push on a 3 or more leg build your own bet parlay between Thursday through Saturday. Players can take advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs or any sports that's really going on over at WynnBET. And not only that, the match is coming to the Wynn, and you can bet on it on WynnBET. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are -200 favorites over the young future quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, who are +165 for the match. I'm definitely going to be tuning in. I believe it's this weekend between these four quarterbacks. So definitely check that in. Bet on it over on WynnBET. Just make sure to download the app. And there's just so much you can bet on the WynnBET app, or visit WynnBET.com to get started today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 years or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And let me also tell you guys about Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there, and I use it for mine. It's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper 2 by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose 2 or more players that you like and pick the over or under. For example, number of points in a basketball game or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick it correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. And the main reason I'm really excited about the over-under game on Sleeper is because it's the only app where I can join my buddies contest and play together. It's a built-in group. There's a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with a tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. So stop what you're doing, download the Sleeper app now, and play their new over-under game and have fun with your friends. Come join, actually, the SGPN squad. All you got to do is just go to sg.pn/squad. But before you actually deposit any money, make sure to use promo code SGPMLB on your first deposit, Sleeper, they're going to match your first deposit up to $100. So just go to sleeper.com/SGP, /SGPMLB for that promo to get that $100 deposit match on your first deposit. And make sure to also join the SGPN squad. And you can copy our picks as well with one click of a button. It's super, super easy. It's been a lot of fun with the NBA playoffs. I know they're starting to drop MLB props on there as well. So come join in the squad. Make sure to, again, get over to sleeper.com/SGPMLB. All right, Dylan, let's keep it moving along here. On the schedule, the next game on the board is, I see, the Miami Marlins in Atlanta to take on the Braves. I'm seeing probable pitchers of Trevor Rogers on the mound for the Miami Marlins and Ian Anderson for the Atlanta Braves. It's going to be a 7:20 Eastern start. Do not see a line for this game here, but let me tell you about the pitchers and their stats, and then Dylan can give us his projections for this game. Like I mentioned, for the Miami Marlins, Trevor Rogers, left-handed pitcher on the mound, and he's been struggling to say the least. He's had three bad starts over about, let's see, eight starts here, which is really, it seems like he's trying to find that consistency, but he's 2-5 on the season so far with a 5.20 ERA, a whip of 1.51. His last start was actually against this Atlanta Braves team back on May 20th, where he did go four innings. But he got hit for 5 earned runs, 8 hits. 3 of those 8 hits were home runs by the Atlanta Braves. He did have 5 strikeouts, did walk 2 guys in that game. And he also did start against the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta back on April 22nd, where in that start, he was really good. He went 5 innings, didn't allow any earned runs. He did give up 4 hits, did have 4 strikeouts in that game and 2 walks as well. Looking at his splits here for this season, It's at home where he's really struggled here, Dylan. I mean, he has a 10.57 ERA at home with a whip of 2.02. He's 1-3 at home, but on the road, he's been great. 1.29 ERA with a 1.14 whip. And like I mentioned, he did really good against the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta earlier this season on the mound for the, Atlanta Braves. Like I said, Ian Anderson, 3-3 so far this season with a 4.07 ERA, a whip of 1.36. Last start against his Miami team in Miami was a little rough for him as well. 6 innings pitched, did allow 7 hits, 4 earned runs, 6 walks to 2 strikeouts. And looking at his splits, opposite of what Trevor Rogers has been doing, Ian Anderson struggling at home, 6.92 ERA with a whip of 1.92. 0-1 so far at home, and then on the road, 2.79, 1.10 ERA with a record of 3-2. So I think that you might get some value here with the Marlins. I'm pretty sure they will probably be a dog in this game, just looking at the numbers. But like I said, we just dived inside of it here. I kind of do like Trevor Rogers, and you know, the ERA at home, on the road is really impressive to where he struggled at home so far for the Miami Marlins. In that history that he has against his Atlanta Braves team, like I said, in Atlanta earlier this year, 5 innings pitched, didn't allow any earned runs, did only allow 4 hits. I think there might be some sneaky value here with the Marlins, probably steal one here on Friday night. But Dylan, do you have anything for this game? Am I reading this wrong? But what do you think?
No, I agree. I do think there's value. I made the Braves a minus 130 favorite. So if we could get a plus 130 with the Marlins, I'd be on them as well. Plus 1.5, I made it minus 150. Same thing. If it was plus 150, the minus 1.5 for the Braves, I probably would take. But yeah, I do think we see some value with the Marlins. I mean, with how good Trevor Rogers has been on the road and the familiarity against the Braves, and then when he turns it over to the bullpen, surprisingly enough, the Marlins have the second best bullpen ERA in the National League, 3.10. So very pitcher for I thought it was in Miami, but against the spread, they're in their last 10 games, they're 6-4 on the road. They're 11-9 against the spread, just 23-19 overall. So a lot of one-run games. I think their bullpen is better than the Braves, and if they could get a lead, they could hold on to it. I think they're live dogs here. I don't have anything to gauge it off because there are no lines, but hopefully we could get a nice plus price with the Marlins.
Yeah, let me see if there is. I know when we usually record these games, the lines slowly start to trickle out, but I don't see one yet for at least this game for tomorrow. But definitely keep an eye on it. I think both Dylan and I believe that they will be dogs for sure in this game, especially on the road. And I know, like we mentioned, Trevor Rogers sneakily has been good on the road so far for the Miami Marlins. So we're both leaning with the Marlins here. Do you have anything on the total for this game, Dylan?
Yeah, I made the total 8.2.
Okay.
So
I probably want to look at a Marlins team total in this game. Maybe if we're able to find like a 3.5 in this game, I think that might be worth a look as well for this game. All right, let's get over to the next game of the night at 8:15 Eastern start between the Milwaukee Brewers visiting the St. Louis Cardinals, a little NL Central matchup for the weekend series. Brandon Woodruff on the I skipped a game. I'll go back to that game, but we'll keep it here with the St. Louis game. Brandon Woodruff on the mound for the Milwaukee Brewers and Dakota Hudson for the St. Louis Cardinals. Looking at an opening line for this game, and I don't see one for this game either. But we'll go ahead and go through the pitching stats as usual. Like I mentioned, for the Milwaukee Brewers, it's going to be Brandon Woodruff, 5-2 on the season so far. But his ERA is a little inflated at 4.76, a whip of 1.29. He's had two starts so far this season where it's really inflating that ERA because he did give up 6 earned runs to the Cincinnati Reds back on May 9th. And then his first start against the Chicago Cubs, he did allow 7 earned runs in 3 2/3 inning pitch. I'm sorry. But his last two starts, he's really been solid here, Dylan. He faced the Nationals in his last start, 6 innings, gave up 5 hits, but only 1 earned run. And then same results against Miami in Miami on May 15th, where he did go 5 innings, did allow 5 hits, but only allowed 1 earned run. So back-to-back starts where he's only allowed 1 earned run. I know overall he's allowed, given up 4, but that ERA is slowly starting to trickle down for Brandon Woodruff. On the road, it's like I said, where his ERA is really inflated because it really was in those two starts against the Reds and the Cubs on the road where he did allow 13 earned runs in 8 innings on the road. But I think he's slowly starting to find his form here a little bit. On the mound for the St. Louis Cardinals, Dakota Hudson, 3-2 with a 3.60 ERA, a whip of 1.35. Last start was against the Mets where he did struggle, did give up 4 earned runs in 4 2/3 inning pitched. He did face the Milwaukee team back on April 17th where he did go 3 innings. Gave up 3 earned runs in that game, 4 runs overall. Did have 2 strikeouts, but in 2 walks in that game as well. Other than that, he's been pretty solid at home so far this season, has Dakota Hudson. He has an ERA of 1.80 at home and a whip of 1.07. He's 2-0 so far at home, but he's really struggled on the road. But this is going to be a home start for Dakota Hudson. Dylan, let me kick it to you here. Get your handicap first, and I'll give my picks for this game. But did you have anything for this game between the Cardinals and the Brewers?
Yeah, I thought this one was the hardest one to cap just because you have two really good teams. They're both really hot right now. And I did make the Brewers a slight favorite of a minus 112. So hopefully we get a nice plus price on the home team with the Cardinals just because I think Dakota Hudson, like you mentioned, he's far better at home. And I think – But then I look at it and it's like, well, the Brewers, they're 14-10 on the road. So they don't care going on the road. They're just as good as home. And I do think they will open up the favorite because I think they're slightly their better team right now. And I mean, I always look at the bullpen ERAs and Milwaukee has a much better bullpen than St. Louis as well. I know they're missing some guys and they got some injuries with Josh Hader. The Brewers, but I don't know. Let me see the wind. You got 8-mile-an-hour winds blowing in right field. So I don't know. The more I talk about it, the more I think I'm going to be on the Brewers, but I don't know. It depends on the line that opens up. And as for the total, I set my total at 7.1. So I do think we see a lower scoring game.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that Brandon Woodruff did face his Cardinals team at home back on April 14th, where he had a good outing against them. He did go 5 innings, only allowed 3 hits, and didn't give up any earned runs. And he's been pretty solid over his career against the St. Louis Cardinals. He's 4-3 overall with an ERA of 2.91. in 11 appearances against this Cardinals team. And he had one bad outing last season on August 19th. But other than that, his numbers look really good as far as facing against this Cardinals team. So I'll probably lean with the Brewers as well. Again, I agree with you. I think that this is going to be a lower scoring game. I know that ERAs, like I mentioned, inflated for Brandon Woodruff with those two rough starts that he did have against the Cubs and the Reds. But I think that his historical numbers against the Cardinals, it's really, I think it helps the under case here. So if this number comes out 7.5, I think we'd really do like the under in this game here, Dylan.
Yeah, I do too. I think just we see a lot of runs and right now, no runs, excuse me, just because the way they've been playing.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let me go back to the game that I missed, which is going to be an 8:10 Eastern start between the Kansas City Royals visiting the Minnesota Twins. Seeing projected pictures of Brad Keller for the Kansas City Royals and Bailey Ober for the Minnesota Twins. Looking at the opening line for this game, I see -180 favorites for the Minnesota Twins, +155 on the money line for the Kansas City Royals. Over-under is set at 8 in this game with a little bit of juice towards the under at -115. Run line, -1.5, +115 for the Minnesota Twins, and then +1.5, -135 for the Kansas City Royals. Dylan, I'll let you lead this one off, bud.
Yeah, I'm taking another shot here on the under 8, mainly because of how good Bailey Ober has been for the Twins. He's basically gone 5 to 6 innings in every one of his starts besides one game. His strikeouts are up, walks are down, and he's been really able to limit his opponents to very minimal contact. Now with Keller, besides his one bad start against the Cardinals, he's been pretty good on the road. So I got to ride here with Kinsegan, keep riding the Twins under in Minnesota. They're 8-14 towards the under. So I'm going to continue to ride the trend and dive under here. I set my total at 7.2.
Yeah, Keller so far on the road, 4.67 ERA. But like Dylan mentioned, it's a little bit inflated. I mean, he did give up 5 earned runs on the road against the Texas Rangers. But other than that, he's been pretty good, like Dylan mentioned. I think they're letting him go an inning too long. I think that let me go a little bit to the last two games against the White Sox and the Twins. They did face each other back last week, right? Minnesota, Brad Keller against Minnesota last week. I'm sorry, 7 innings pitch, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, did walk 3 guys in that game and struck out 4. And then, like you mentioned, the numbers for Ober have been really, really good. For his season overall, he has a 2.55 ERA with a WHIP of 1.14. And, you know, like you mentioned, and Kinsegan has mentioned that this Twins team is an under team. Last week against this Kansas City Royals team in Kansas City, he had a Ober win, 5 innings, 3 hits, and only gave up 1 earned run in that game. Did have 4 strikeouts. So, I don't know. I felt like that if this number was a little bit higher on the run line for the Twins, that may have been worth the look. But at +115, I still don't hate it. But if I'm able to get like a north of +120, I think that I may have looked at it that way for this game between the Twins and the Royals. But I think the under may be just be the play in this game between these two squads. All right, let's get over to the next game of the night. It's going to be a 9:38 Eastern start between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Los Angeles Angels. On the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays, Alek Manoah, and on the mound for the Los Angeles Angels, I'm sorry, Chase Selseth. Looking at the opening line for this game, I'm seeing -110 on both sides on the money line for each of these teams. Over-under set at 8. -115 towards the under. We're seeing run lines of -1.5, +150 for the Toronto Blue Jays, and +1.5, -170 for the Angels. Dylan, I will let you lead this one off, buddy. Blue Jays with Alek Manoah and LA Angels with Chase Selseth.
Yeah, great value we're getting here with the Blue Jays. I made them a -130 favorite, mainly because of Manoah on the mound, home or away. I mean, this guy's been lights out. I think you were the first one to really put him on my radar. Like within the second, third week in our section, you said, hey, maybe AL Cy Young. And, yeah, you know, people were not really looking into it, but man, this guy, he's phenomenal. Only 9 runs given up in 50 innings pitched. Batters are only hitting 197 off of him. With Chase Selseth, he's only making his third start of the season, second at home, where he's actually pitched worse, surprisingly. So I want to get more data and numbers on him before I could actually back him. So I'm surprised this line opened up a pick'em, but I know the Blue Jays bats really haven't been there, but last night they broke out for 8 runs, so maybe a little momentum going into this. I do think they need to pick up their bats if they ever want to catch the Yankees. But I think I'll take the better pitcher, and I think not the better team, but just the better pitcher. I'm going to take the Blue Jays here on the money line.
Yeah, I mean, I'm behind this Alec Manoah train, going back to last season when me and Malcolm talked about him, and I think that he kind of followed up this season. I've bet on every one of his starts so far this season. I'm not going to stop now. I mean, like you mentioned, he's been great at home. He's been great on the road. Nothing has really separated. Doesn't matter where he's pitching, he's going to be solid. And, you know, he did have one start last season against the Angels, 6 2/3 inning in that game, allowed 5 hits, but only gave up 2 earned runs in almost 7 innings. So I'm going to back. And he also had 11 strikeouts in that game last season as well, for the Toronto Blue Jays against his Angels team. So a couple of ways, different ways to attack it. I'm on the Blue Jays money line here with Manoah on the mound. Maybe want to look at an Angels under team total going up against Alec Manoah. Maybe a strikeout prop as well. That number may come out around 5.5, around that neighborhood. I know he hasn't had a lot of strikeouts over his last 3 starts where he only gave up 4, only had 4, 4, and 3, but when he started the season, he had 3 of his first 5 starts, 7 strikeouts, and he had at least 5 strikeouts in his first 5 starts. So if you're able to find a 5.5, I do like that number for my strikeouts as well. But we're both on the Blue Jays here with Alec Manoah on the mound against the LA Angels. Anything else for this game? Dylan, I almost called you Scott. Dylan, for this game. All right, let's get over to the next game of the night. Another Cy Young, or the Cy Young favorite on the mound as far as the American League. It's going to be the Houston Astros headed to Seattle to take on the Mariners, with Justin Verlander on the mound for the Houston Astros, Chris Flexen on the mound for the Seattle Mariners. Looking at the opening line for this game, and Justin Verlander, very heavy favorite on the road here, -210 for the Astros on the money line, +175 for the Mariners on the money line. Over under set at 7.5 with juice towards the under at -115. The run line -1.5, -130 for the Astros, and +1.5, +110 for the Seattle Mariners. Dylan, I'll let you leave this one on, man. Justin Verlander is looking like he's returned to Cy Young form here, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, him and Alex Manoah, I think, are 1-2. But for this game, I made the Astros a -230 favorite. So a little past it, I needed a -125 to take them on the money sign. So on the run line, excuse me. So a little waiting there. I'm probably not going to touch or get involved with the Mariners. But this bet scares me, but I'm going to go over 7.5 here, mainly fading my boy Flexen. I know Verlander, he's been lights out this year. And I think literally the last time he's gave up multiple runs in a game was to this Mariners team back in the beginning of May. But with Flexen, he's only given up he's given up 3 or more runs in 3 straight starts. And he's actually given up 1 run in every one of his starts. I just can't back him right now until he finds it a little bit. And in the last 10 games, this Mariners club is 6-4 to the over. Their bullpen is horrible, second worst in the AL, bottom six, worst in the league. I think once the Astros get a few on Flexen, they'll get the rest of off their bullpen. Hopefully the Mariners can score a few of their own. They have been able to score 4 or more runs in 5 straight games. So I think Verlander dominates, but I think this line has gone a little too far. I set mine at 7.9. So over 7.5 for me.
Yeah, and so let me start with Verlander here. On his run line, especially on the road here, I just had it in front of me. Where'd he go? All right, here we go. So he's had about 4-5 starts on the road so far this season. The Astros have, they lost his first start against the Angels 2-0, but he's faced this Mariners team twice and he's won on the run line both times. So back on April 16th in Seattle, 4-0 victory for the Astros. And then Wednesday, May 4th against the Seattle team in Minute Maid Park, 7-2 victory for the Astros. And he's only allowed one earned run over his last three starts. It's been absolutely incredible what Verlander is doing so far this season. And then just pulled up Chris Flexen's numbers against his Astros team. And, you know, his last three starts against them, give me one second here. I'm trying to pull up his actual numbers. Chris Flexen versus Astros. All right, here we go. So he's 0-5 in his career against his Astros team with an ERA of 6.16. His last start was against his Astros team was back on May 3rd. He only allowed one earned run in five innings. But prior to that, April 16th, he gave up two on last season. Then he had two starts last season where he did allow seven earned runs as well. So, and then like you mentioned, he hasn't been in real form. I like that you highlight that you like the over, which really makes me like the Astros team total over in this game. Just because the struggles he has this season, Flexen overall, but then against the history that he has with the Astros as well. I'm looking at if this number is at what, 7.5. If you're able to find a 3.5 or a 4 on this Astros team total, I don't hate that number. I think that's a great play for this game. And I wish that number was a south of minus 120 on the run line. Then I would have taken about minus 130. It's a bit of a stretch for me, Dylan.
Yeah, I like it over 3.5, 4. I don't know, but I do like if you're able to get a 3.5 on the team total for the Astros on Flexen,
yeah,
I would hammer that.
Yeah. All right, let's get over to the next game of the night. Three games left on the schedule here. It's going to be a 9:40 Eastern start. Between a battle of the NL West here, the LA Dodgers are in Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks, where I'm seeing Tony Gonsolin on the mound for the Dodgers and then on the mound for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Madison Bumgarner. Looking at the opening line for this game, I see the LA Dodgers a favorite here of minus 165. Plus 145 on the money line for the Dodgers. Sorry, for the Diamondbacks. Over-under set at 9 with juice towards the over at minus 115. Run line minus 1.5, minus 115 for the Dodgers. Plus 1.5, minus 105 for the Diamondbacks. Getting into the pitching numbers here for these teams, I am looking at just had it in front of me. Where did it go? Tony Gonsolin on the mound here. It's going to be his record of 4-0, 1.62 ERA. He's been really solid for the Dodgers so far this season. His whip is at 0.97. Last start was against the Phillies in Philadelphia. Six innings, one earned run against Arizona back on May 16th. He went six innings, gave up two earned runs. So he's really been solid for the Dodgers. He hasn't allowed more than three earned runs in any of his appearances or his starts so far this season. So been really good. He's had at least five strikeouts over his last five starts for the Dodgers. Last two games, he did have seven strikeouts. Like I mentioned, his last two starts, one was against the Arizona Diamondbacks, where he did have seven strikeouts as well. On the mound, like I mentioned, for the Arizona Diamondbacks, it's going to be Madison Bumgarner. He's been solid as well. Left-handed pitcher, like we know, 2-2 record, 2.76 ERA with a whip of 1.11. He did face his Dodgers team as well back on May 16th in LA, where he went five innings, did allow three earned runs, gave up six hits. He has one strikeout in that game, did walk two guys. He's been really good at home for the Diamondbacks, Dylan. He has a 1.86 ERA with a 1.19 whip. I feel like this total is a little high. I kind of want to dig in more to what Madison Bumgarner has recently done against the Dodgers. But I'll let you give your handicap here, Dylan, before I give the numbers for Bumgarner. But what do you have? You have anything for this game?
Yeah, another good pitching matchup in this one. I do think there is some value here with the Dodgers. I made them a minus 180 favorite, but as for the total, I set it at an 8.1. I took a 9 under. I do think it's a little high. We also have 11-mile-an-hour winds blowing in from right center-ish. I've been impressed with Tony Gosselin as of late. He's been able to go 5-6 innings in 4 straight games. He's only given up 4 runs in those 4 starts. And one of those games was against this D-backs team. So, and for Madison Bumgarner, he's been awesome at home, especially 1.86 ERA, 4 runs just given up in 16 innings. He does have to keep his walks down, which concerns me, but I feel like this game just screams under to me. The Snakes, they're 6-17 toward the under at home.
Yeah.
With how good both pitchers have been, I'll go first 5 under, and I'll also go full game under.
Yeah, and especially when I was reading that line, that 9 seemed a little high to me, and that was kind of looked at the pitching numbers, I'm sorry, for both these teams. It really looks like that the under might be the play in this game. I'm trying to put up the numbers for what the Dodgers have done against left-handed pitching, and the only thing that does make me nervous is that this offense for the Dodgers just can break out at any time. But against left-handed pitching so far this season, they have a team batting average of .241. They are, you know, they have 60 RBIs against left-handed pitching. OPS is about average for the Dodgers against left-handed pitching, but I think the experience that Bumgarner does have against this team, I think that he'll be able to contend him. And like I mentioned with Tony Gonsolin, who's been really good for them as well. I do agree about the under 9 in this game, especially at minus 105. But I may want to wait, see if this gets pushed up to a 9.5. It looks like it's trending that way. At 9.5, I love it at that number. But do you have anything else for this game, Dylan?
No, I would just co-sign if it gets to 9.5 under, keep smashing it.
Yeah, 100%. All right, 2 games left on the schedule. Let's get over to the next game. It's going to be the Pittsburgh Pirates visiting the San Diego Padres, a 9:40 Eastern start. On the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates, going to be Jose Quintana. For the San Diego Padres, going to be Sean Manaea on the mound. Looking at the opening line for this game, the Padres are a minus 200 favorite against this Pirates team, plus 170 on the money line for the Pirates. Over-under is set at 7 with the run line, +1.5, minus 130 for the Pirates, and -1.5, plus 110 for the Padres. Let's go over the pitching numbers for both of these starting pitchers. I'll start here with Jose Quintana. He currently has a record of 1-2, the 2.43 ERA. He's been pretty solid overall for the season. He did get into a little bit of trouble last start against the St. Louis Cardinals. 3 2/3 inning, did allow 7 hits, 5 runs, 2 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk in that game. Hasn't faced this Padres team so far this season, but looking at his splits, the ERA is a little bit higher on the road, 3.72 with a whip of 1.14. His home ERA is 2.03 with a 1.19 whip. But on the mound for the Padres, like I mentioned, Sean Manaea, he's been it's been really hard to get a gauge. I'll go through the numbers for him, though. Where did it go? I just had it in front of me. All right, there we go. 2-3, the 4.04 ERA, a whip of 1.12. He did allow 4 earned runs against the San Francisco Giants in his last start. Did go 6 innings, 5 hits. Did allow 2 home runs in that game. He's had at least 2 walks, and I believe in half of his starts so far. 8 starts, he's given up at least 2. He's given up at least 2 walks in 6 of his 8 starts so far this season. Looking at his home and road splits here, he struggled at home, and there's no easier way to put it. He's has a 5.51 ERA with a whip of 1.53. On the road, it's a different story with 3.31 ERA and a whip below 1. I can't get behind the Padres at a minus 200 price. If I'm going to play them, it would probably be on that plus price on the run line. But again, it's just really been hard to handicap Sean Manaea, and Jose Quintana's numbers have been good so far this season, but this game is probably going to be a stay away from me. And also looking at what the Pirates have done against left-handed pitching, they haven't been too bad. They have a team batting average of 231. It's a little bit below average, but I thought it would be worse against left-handed pitching. But I don't know. What do you have for this game, Dylan?
Yeah, nothing on the side. I just can't back the Padres at an over $2 price. And for the Pirates, I mean, I needed at least a plus 217 to take them. So I'm not on the Pirates. I actually got the opening total of a 6.5, and I took that over. I set my total at a 7.4. Even here at a 7, I like it. It was interesting to me that it is opened up at a 6.5. I mean, all three games between these two, they've played together, have gone over this number. With how good the Buccos and Padres have been scoring runs, I think we see another over. Sean Manaea, he isn't the best at home than he is on the road. His last two starts at home, he's given up, he's gone 10 innings and given up 9 runs. I just can't get a gauge on him. Like you said, I can't trust him. Give me the over 6.5. I know it's a little chalky. I got it at minus 120, but even at a minus 110, minus 115 over 7, I like that as well.
Yeah, I again, looking at the Padres numbers against left-handed pitching, I think in that top 10 as far as OPS, they have a 738 OPS as a team, 246 team batting average, which is also around top 10 in the entire MLB. So I think this might be a spot where that the Padres offense can get to Quintana here, maybe early, look at a team total over possibly for the Padres. I know we know they're one of the better hitting teams so far this season. So that might be worth a look in this game. But I think that at least for a side, like Dylan said, I agree with him. I think this is a stay away for me as well. All right, let's get over to the last game of the night here, Dylan. It's going to be a 9:40 Eastern start between the Texas Rangers in Oakland to take on the A's. I'm seeing probable pitchers of John Gray for the Texas Rangers and Cole Irvin for the Oakland A's here. Looking at this game, I'm seeing opening line of John Gray favored minus 120 on the road here. Cole Irvin on the take back price on the money line is at even money. Over under set at 7 and with over at minus 115. Run line -1.5, +145 for the Rangers, and +1.5, -165 for the Oakland A's. Dylan, I'll let you kick this one off for the last game of the night. What do you got here?
Yeah, I actually have this line flipped. I made the A's a minus 125 favorite in this spot at home with Cole Irving on the mound. I don't know how John Gray is favored over Cole Irving, especially with how good he's been at home. 113 ERA, only 2 runs given up in 16 innings. He's been able to go 5 to 6 innings in every one of his starts this season. Walks are down. And let's not forget, Irving, he's faced the Rangers at home earlier in the year, and he shut them out. 5 scoreless innings. They only got 1 hit off of him. I know the A's are probably the league's worst hitting team, but I think with Irving on the mound, it sets the tone a little bit. I think they find a way to scratch out a win here at home. So at a +108 I was able to get, I'm going to back the A's and Irving. I just think he's a better pitcher. I don't know how John Gray's a favorite.
I agree. Again, it's crazy to see that he's had 6 starts so far this season, has John Gray. And 5 of those 6 starts have come on the road, and this is going to be another road start for him as well. So I think that majority of the splits, when you look at it, that it's going to be telling of what he's been able to do on the road. And he has an ERA of 4.84 on the road, 1.25 WHIP winless on the road so far this season. And when I was reading off that line, I was very surprised to see that the Rangers were favored here, just because it is Oakland, right, where there's not very many fans attending these games. And this Oakland team, especially early on, they can put up some runs.
Yeah.
I kind of do like the if you're able to find a reverse run line of -0.5 for the Oakland A's in the first 5, I think you might be able to get a good price on that. But maybe a first 5 innings money line as well for the Oakland A's here. I can back John Gray, especially even though he should be at an underdog price here. I agree with you 100%. But at minus 120, there's no way I'm favoring him or getting behind John Gray. If you're able to find a reverse of -1.5 for the full game, I don't hate that either. It might be a good juicy price as well for the Oakland A's. And, you know, Dylan just highlighted that Cole Irvin, he shut him out when he faced the Rangers as well. So I can get behind that as well. I know he had a rough start against the Angels, but the Angels are one of the better offensive teams. And he faced his team in on April 24th at home. Five innings, he only allowed one hit in that game. So I'm going to go with the Oakland A's here. I'm going to shop around, maybe get a little frisky with this line, try to find a -1.5 for the full game and a run line where they're laying the number on that first five innings. So definitely that might be some juicy odds as well. You have anything else for this game, Dylan?
Not with this game, but with this team, the Oakland A's. I want to thank you, Munaf, because about 2-3 weeks ago, we were on the pod and you put me on the Blackburn, how he keeps getting disrespected with these lines, the first five. And last night, yesterday in the afternoon, I took +0.5. I took first five money line, and it was just never a doubt. Like, the guy is going right under the radar, and I love it because we keep getting this nice plus price. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been really solid for this Oakland A's team. And who do they face? It was a couple days ago. Was it the Mariners?
I thought that was yesterday. I don't know his last.
No, game. But it was against yesterday, the day before, where he was going up against Robbie Ray. And as soon as I saw that he was facing Robbie Ray, that we were going to able to get a very, very nice price on Paul Blackburn against Mariners and Robbie Ray, because when the books see that Robbie Ray number or that name, former Cy Young winner from last season in Seattle, where the team, you know, was a little overhyped or was hyped up to be that big, sexy pick this year. They haven't looked that great. Hopefully they can turn around here sooner rather than later. But that plus price, I was able to get that. I think it was like +160. I want to say I got it at for Paul Blackburn. So if he's going to continue to be an underdog at home or even on the road, you got to continue bragging. And again, the pitching numbers are backing it up for Paul Blackburn. So glad you were able to cash on that as well.
Yeah, so the last start before the Mariners was he faced the Angels twice in a row. Mm. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Out of his 9 starts, the Oakland Athletics have won 8 of the 9.
Yeah.
So, and the one that they did lose was in 11 innings, they lost to the Tampa Bay Rays. So it wasn't even his fault. I think that might have been his worst outing. He went 4 innings, he gave up 3 runs. So, yeah, the guy's flying under the radar. You got to keep cashing with him.
Yeah, 100%. All right, before we get over to our picks, let me tell you guys about Manscaped. Sweaty sacks, summer is approaching, and it's time for you to prioritize the comfort of your crotch. That's why the kings of crotch comfort, Manscaped, has spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. I've had the honor of testing these new boxers out, and I can say it's the softest fabric of any underwear. It's breathable, and it's like the gills for your groin. They even trademarked the jewel pouch, so you know it's serious. And I think it's time you invest in your family's jewels. So let your bulge breathe and get 20% off doing that, plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com and using promo code SGP. You'll get 20% off plus free shipping by using that promo code SGP over on Manscaped. I bought Manscaped last year when we had them on as a sponsor. I bought the lawnmower. They threw in the briefs that I just told you guys about, the boxer briefs. The material is awesome. There's a lot of space in there for your family jewels. And like I mentioned, they trademarked the jewel pouch. It's a jewel pouch on these briefs. It's a pouch that's designed to cradle your boys in their own special space, lined with perforated performance fabric to keep them well ventilated. Basically, just imagine your balls sipping pina coladas, chilling on a hammock on some tropical beach. So make sure to get over to manscaped.com to get 20% off plus free shipping. But the only way you guys get that is if you use promo code SGP. Again, so make sure to get over to manscaped.com and use promo code SGP. And we're also brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. Like I mentioned, we were in Vegas earlier this week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And, you know, Kramer brought his AG1 supplements. I had mine out there as well. Just took one scoop in the morning and we were ready to go, no matter if it was a late night. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamin, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients
supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And last but not least, IP Vanish. We're doing a lot of things on our computers. We're, you know, looking at our stats. We're handicapping games. We're looking at things we shouldn't be looking at, maybe at home. But did you know that IP Vanish, that if you use IP Vanish, that it's going to protect your privacy and secure you on the internet? IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. That means your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. So IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IP Vanish. IP Vanish is super easy to use. And what they're doing is they're offering an incredible 70% off the yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So all you have to do, it's simple. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. So that's ipvanish.com/SGP to get your 70% off in savings. All right, let's get over to our picks for this Friday schedule in Major League Baseball. Dylan, I am going to let you lead it off, my man. What do you got for your lock and dog for this Friday schedule?
All right, I'll start with my dog since it was the last game we talked about. I'm going to take the A's here on the money line at +108. For all the reasons we just mentioned, Cole Irving, he shouldn't be an underdog against Sean Gray with how good he's pitched, especially at home. We just got to hope the A's crack in a few runs and give them some run support. But I'm going to take the A's. I think they have the pitching advantage. I'm in a good mood. I like actually really two plays. I was going back and forth for my lock. One that I'm going to back my team here. I'm going to take the Mets on the money line. I think we get back on the winning column. Cookie Carrasco, I like him at home. And Zach Eflin, I think this is a discounted rate. I made the Mets a -140 favorite. So I just think at home, they're the better team right now. And the other one that I really did like was the Dodgers and D-backs under 9. Like Munoz said, if it goes to 9.5, I still like the under with two good pitchers. I think we see a little scoring game. So D-backs, Dodgers under 9, Mets money line, and A's money line as my dog.
All right, there we go. Dylan is feeling generous on this Friday in Major League Baseball. Sometimes when you like picks, you just got to give them out, man. Yeah. I really felt that way on Tuesday when we were in Vegas. I looked at the card. There was some great plays that I did like. So hopefully we can cash on all of our picks. All right. So for my lock, I got to say with my guy, I've been touting him all season, Alek Manoah for the Toronto Blue Jays on the money line, -110. Again, he's been fantastic anywhere he's been pitching. We talked a lot about home road splits on this episode. He's been great, like I mentioned, both at home and on the road here. So I'm going to take Alek Manoah with the Blue Jays on the money line at -110 as my lock. For my dog, I thought this price was too juicy to pass up. I know Dylan has him as one of his picks on the money line, but I'm going to take him as on the run line at +165 is going to be the New York Mets with Cookie Carrasco and Zach Eflin on the mound. We talk about the splits in this game as well. Zach Eflin has been absolutely atrocious on the road so far this year. His numbers are not great against the Mets over his career either. So at -1.5, +165, I think that's a really good number. I can't pass that up. I'm going to take that as my dog at that -1.5 price of +165. I'll throw that bonus one in. That number's not out yet, but I think that if you're able to find a 3.5 or 4 on the Houston Astros team total, Chris Flexen, like we mentioned, he's been really struggling so far this season. And his numbers over his career against the Astros haven't been that great either. So at a price at 7, you'll probably see that number come around. I'm guessing it's probably going to be 4 for the Astros, but I still like that against Chris Flexen. I think that
the Astros have really given Justin Verlander that run support in throughout his start. So I do like that number as a bonus pick. I'll give you guys as well. That's going to do it for this episode of the MLB Gambling Podcast. Dylan, you have anything else you want to get off your chest before we get out of here and then let the people know where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, no, just it's a long season. Keep riding with us. Munaf probably say just like, subscribe, and rate, review. They help us out tremendous with all the analytics. But, yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter at Rock with 2Ks24. And, yeah, make sure you guys follow our Twitter page, MLB Gambling Podcast, at MLBSGPN.
Yeah, echoing everything Dylan just said there, make sure to follow the Twitter account. Absolutely crushing it over there. If you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe. We're going to be here daily all throughout the season, so you don't want to miss these picks. I know that basketball is winding down, hockey is winding down, and it's only going to be baseball for you to bet on. So get ahead of the market here. Come join us. Come subscribe. Cash in with us as we approach the dog days of the summer, because, like I said, it's only going to be baseball. You can find me on Twitter as well at SportsDirt824. Make sure, like I said, to follow the MLB Gambling Podcast account and also leave us a review if you haven't already. Please, please, please. It really helps us grow the show so we can be here for you guys. With that being said, good luck with your picks today. Let's break these books off and let it ride.